Here's a little song I
wrote. Morning, Frank.
You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy.
We gotta have this kind of day today. It's gotta be.
In every life we have some trouble.
You know,
when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry.
I said something in the pre-show about his foot.
Whose foot?
Bobby McFarlane.
Don't worry.
Wait, what do you mean Bobby McFarlane's foot?
He had his legs crossed on the chair and he had no shoes on and no socks on. Fine. Huh. His big toe was like all the way up in the air and the rest of his toes were down. Like, and that freaks me out.
To have that kind of toe independence?
Look, you see it? It's moving around right now.
Hold on. What the hell's going on? Why am I so far behind?
Because Rumble is so far behind.
Oh, hold on. Oh, yeah.
You see it?
He's got a lot of big toe independence there.
It freaks me out.
You know, I know this came out in 1988-ish or something like that, but it still just feels so 1991, 92 to me, just because I guess that's where my consciousness was just really starting to develop. And I don't know, it just felt
great song.
It just reminds me of a good time. It just reminds me, whenever the songs come out, it reminds me of the people who are still around when they came out. So it makes me think of different family. And of course, it's such a relaxing, calming song. He was at the Capitol Theater not too long ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he flexing his feet around everywhere?
Probably. Is that Robin Williams? Yeah, it is. I forgot Robin Williams was in this music video.
You know, Arizona Informer in the chat. Well, good morning, everybody, first of all. Good morning, Tennessee Woman and Jean and Sharon's here and CL's here. Frank's here. I see.
Yep.
Mom's in the chat. Abby's in the chat. AZ Informer started a thing. $5 Fridays.
$5 Fridays.
They just posted in the bottom, please donate $5 Fridays or else that means you want to trans the kids.
You don't want to do that. $5 foot long. That's the second best.
So if it's $5 Fridays, if you have it in your heart, throw us a Rumble rant for $5. $5 Fridays.
What was the other one? What was the Domino's had like a $5 medium pie?
$5 foot longs. That was the one from before, right?
That's Subway.
Yeah.
$5 foot long of Subway. But I thought for sure that maybe it was $15 with Subway for three medium pies. So maybe it was like that one. It was like very pizza. Short thing.
Was it Domino's?
Domino's.
Domino's $5.
Medium pie. Try
medium
that.
Medium pie Fridays.
I don't know if it was a Friday. It might have just been a...
Yeah.
It was?
It wasn't necessarily Friday, but they had it.
$5 medium pie. What, do they still do that?
They have a lot of stuff going on right now. Yes. National Pizza Day 2024. Everybody, this is going to segue so perfectly into the first... into the first bit of the show. And you know what? I'm not even doing a countdown today. So I'm just going to do an intro and we're putting this whole damn thing out on audio. Screw it. Quite a mood today. I'm so tired.
I thought that's what you're tired?
I'm not physically tired. I'm mentally fried from all the stuff that's got, like, it's been like 18 interviews all week. I'm just.
It makes me a little upset that I'm going to have to talk a little bit more about this squatter stuff later on.
That happened to me, by the way. First of all, welcome to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. So yeah, when I was short selling my house in New York and I moved down here to South Carolina and somebody rented out my house for like $3,500 a month. And then there were squatters in there with a lease thinking they were living in, you know, a justified home.
But were the squatters being scammed?
Yes.
I mean, that's just the whole thing. I mean, if they're paying $3,500 a month to somebody.
Yeah.
They aren't even the ones. They're cool. I mean, if you can afford $3,500 a month, what's going on right now? I've been covering this for a long time. Now it's just becoming fever pitch kind of thing. Because, you know, squatters are not people. I'm sorry. They're not people. The headspace you have to be in.
To do that?
To get into somebody, to act like a squirrel. You know, to burrow a hole in somebody's attic. And then it wouldn't be that bad if the system was not there ready to defend them. I'm telling you, this is ugly. It's ugly.
It is, because now they're putting out videos instructing each other on how to do it. Frank, I think that it should be mandatory that I read the Rumble rants that come in with the $5 Friday donations.
Yes.
Real Mike's wife says it's $5 Friday. Abby Z Mama says, if you don't want a dude shaving his nutsack in the women's locker room at Planet Fitness, $5 Fridays.
Yes, just come in the men's room with me and we can shave our nuts together.
Gulf 1609 says, I missed last Friday. That's $10.
Oh, okay.
I got another one that just came in from AZ Informer, $20. Do you guys see something in Tracy's hair? There's something sticking out. Hold on, here it is. It's a 20.
Oh my gosh. The AZ Informer. I mean, the print. What's going on? What's going to happen here? You're not be able to pay the printers.
By the way, I went out to, like, I needed some new, like, casual t-shirts to wear, and there was a sale. They were like 10 bucks each or something like that. These are from Lee.
Born Free.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some really awesome America-themed shirts.
You know what I got coming in soon? Actually, it might be coming in today. Well, you know me, I love my plain white V-neck tees. But, you know, even though somebody in the chat room months ago called me a bum because I wearing these, I'm like, you know what? And then, you know, for like one episode, it got me self-conscious. Like, no, I got to take this tee off.
Oh, shit.
I'm like a bum. And I said, you know what? You know what? Funny dressing, trying to dress me.
You know, but I feel that way.
Well, hold on. I got a really. I can't wait for this to come in. It's called Sunday. It was called Sunday Mass. Okay, I saw it. I don't even know where the hell it was, but I found this store that is kind of meme. It's memesy, but it's also like Christian Catholic. It combines wanting to work out with, with all these types of Christian themes over here. And let me send you one. I'm waiting for two things coming right now. It's there's the first link. It's this one thing called this one t-shirt called Consequences.
Oh, this is totally you.
Consequences, it's called, and it's Jesus running through the temple and just beating the shit out of everybody. It's called Consequences. And there's another one I think I'm going to get with Saint Michael just spearing Satan through the face. But then I got these sweatpants, because the sweatpants look so good too. And it's just called Sunday Mass. But of course they're using mass in like a double meaning.
Oh,
way,
like mass, like muscle mass and mass. Bulking, like,
yeah. And there's pictures of Jesus like breaking off the cross with muscly arms.
I want JJC3 just put in the chat, I will send you occasionally political incorrect t-shirts. I want you guys to do that. I had done that earlier. Send me t-shirts. I've worn them. I had some vaccine ones that I got. Like I will wear them. Yesterday I wore for interviews, which was crazy. Nick Norwitz, the dude that did Oreo v. Staten.
Oh, yeah.
He came out with like a line of shirts and he's like, hey, you know, here's one of my shirts or whatever. What kind do you want? And I picked it out. I bought it because he's a struggling scientist. And it says, something like, if you can't question science, it isn't science, it's religion.
Yeah. Yeah, anything that evokes that kind of a emotional protectionist.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a response. You're venturing into religion. That's how my friend Liam really started articulating things for me with things like climate change and stuff. He said, you're not, and even AIDS, that you're not talking about scientific situations. You're talking about religion at that point, where there's no negotiating. This is something that is ingrained in me.
Yeah. Lots of it like that. But I want to go back to the pizza portion of things here, Frank, because this came out from the American Diabetes Association. Okay. This is Stacy on the screen. Everybody meet Stacy. She looks like a very nice woman.
Let me see her. Hold on. The red shirt.
Yeah. You know, double chin, red shirt. She seems like a nice lady though. You want to hear what she has to say about how you should eat as a diabetic? Here we go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Stacy, the Director of Nutrition and Wellness at the ADA. We get asked a lot about where to start for meal planning for people diagnosed with prediabetes or diabetes. A simple start is using the diabetes plate method. Find a 9-inch plate. These are usually the smaller luncheon or salad plates in your dinnerware set. Fill half the plate with non-starchy vegetables like leafy greens, green beans, broccoli, and then one quarter of the plate from lean protein and the remaining quarter section of your quality carbohydrate choice, such as starchy vegetables, rice, pasta, bread. Drink calorie-free beverages for hydration. And as you get familiar with the amounts, it's easier to incorporate.
Now, okay, they hid the comments. They're ratioed into all oblivion here, okay? They hid every single comment and then shut comments off because people lost it. I'm so excited about this because it means that people are awake to this shit. Yes, stuff your face full of carbs 3 times a day. That's exactly what you should do if you're pre and post type 2 diabetes. Eat all all those carbs, just pump them on in.
That has got to, especially if you're in that situation. If you're not in that situation, you know, most people can handle it. They can handle a little bit of bread. They can handle things in moderation, while the majority of their nutrition should be coming from protein and fats. But if you're trying to get yourself out of a sticky situation, like you're pre or you're in the middle of it all, you got to get that. That's got to be gone.
Yeah, gone. You know, yesterday someone posted on X and said, can you store, does bread belong in the fridge? And I said, it belongs in the garbage.
While it's still good, I would not refrigerate it.
The only bread I ever kept in the fridge was raisin bread, because that's just what my family always did. Raisin bread goes in the fridge. Don't know why.
I like there's these small loaves that I get from this bakery in the Bronx, that they slice nice. And also, you know, sometimes after church, I'll go to the bakery and pick up a loaf, or at least I used to a long time ago. I should do that again. Either fresh rolls or a loaf of the Italian bread that right out of the bakery front office, they sell them for like $1. When they are gummy and soft and
there's nothing like a good piece of bread. I love it too. Don't have it, but love it. Here so we good. Go. Wait, fat nutritionist shouldn't be legal. Now that's wrong. It's true. I'm not attacking the woman's look. She's just stupid. I mean, there's so much more material there.
It just does not. It listen, when you are in the nutrition game and when you are in personal training, like I was, your physical presentation is the best business card that you have. And perhaps she knows, she's very book smart, and she knows how to actually give people proper counsel. Perhaps she knows all the rules.
Clearly not.
But she's clearly not applying it to herself.
No, she probably is. That's the problem.
I'm saying if she had good information, she's hawking, you know, carbs over here. for diabetics, you know, telling them how to eat carbs, they should just be gone. But it just does not, it doesn't inspire confidence when you see somebody that's out of shape and is pushing health and fitness. And that, of course, is everybody that is in any major influential health position right now, that especially in government. And the AD,
Well, before we move on here, speaking that what you just said, Dr. Bowden and Dr. Marek and another doctor had been suing the FDA over their postings about ivermectin on social media, saying they can't come in and say a medicine is good or bad. They're not allowed to give advice on what should be prescribed. They don't get to go into that patient-doctor relationship and advertise what they think is good and what they think is bad. And guess what? They won yesterday. The government has to take down all of its ivermectin posts, all of them, everyone, everywhere.
Really?
And they're not allowed to do that anymore. Yep. I'll have the decision later today.
Jeez.
Oh, CL, yeah, that just happened late last night. Freaking fantastic.
Wow. That's pretty huge right there.
Yeah. Like, no, you're not a horse. That has to come down.
God, I hate them.
Anyway, so all the keto carnivore people and people who have, you know, gone low carb to treat their health condition started quoting this with their pictures, their befores and afters and their health journeys, and how, like, one woman, this woman right here, who I absolutely love, her first picture is on the left, her before, when she was actually following the advice. Now there's another one. Hold on, wait, where is she? Where is she? Here she is. She secretly went keto carnivore while she was in this special program from the ADA to, like, track how people were doing. And look at her.
What?
Look at the difference.
I'm way behind. Oh, what, diet doctor? This picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's stunning.
Yeah. And she's wonderful, by the way. She's
Hopefully she kept some of those boobs.
No, it doesn't look like it.
Hopefully she kept, like, maybe 1/8 of those
boobs.
They go
away. You know that?
I know.
Mine haven't, but they do. I don't know why. You lose weight, you lose the boobs.
Good for her.
Yeah, she looks fantastic, but she snuck it. She did it without them knowing. And then at the very end, on the last day, she told them, I haven't followed any of your advice. Here's what I did. And, like, everybody was there. Fantastic. Her name is Christine Trimpe.
Did she just write about the big reveal, or was she able to get any kind of recording of people, like,
I still wish I had a picture of her jaw hitting the ground when I revealed my secret on the last day of the program. So she
didn't. What did they say when they realized that she only did this because she ignored their advice?
I don't know. That's where it stops. I'll ask her, because she follows me. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, damn. Did she heard my comments about the boobs then?
I don't think she's watching the podcast.
Okay. Well, tell her not to watch today.
She's a very religious woman.
Damn it. This is getting worse by the moment.
A very religious woman. She says, I was pre-diabetic. I was following the plan, including oatmeal for breakfast, even was it when I wasn't hungry. And from here, I want to move into this other study. Here's another beautiful woman who did this. There was another study that was like, it's not even peer reviewed or anything. Okay. It was some conference, and they released, like, this early, like, results of this thing. It hasn't even gone through the process, but the media hooked onto it and started sharing it around everywhere, writing stories about how if you intermittent fast, there's a 91% increase in heart disease.
I know. I love it. I think they see people are doing it. They see people are researching, and they're trying to tell you that fasting will kill you now.
Now, here's what blew my mind about it, Frank. To be specific, they found that people who reported eating less than 8 hours in a day, that's a 16, basically, compared to those who reported eating for 12 to 16 hours in a day, had an almost twofold increased risk of dying from heart disease. You're sleeping for 8 hours out of the day. So now sleep causes heart disease. This was a self-reported study that tracked people for 2 days. It's that mean.
I know. I can't wait to jump into it. I set this one aside for the 28th when my nutritionist comes back on to hang out with me. I need to jump into this with him. I want to see what he's found out, because just on the face of it, it's just, you got to be kidding me. Well, no, there's another one. Hold on.
He's got it in his big pile of things.
No, I saved it in my here. Here's another one I found from March 19th. A screenshot I took. I think it's from the Daily Mail. Headline: sunbathing for just 1 day increases your risk of heart disease and stops the body's fighting infection, study finds. Sunbathing for 1 day. They want people out of the sun. They want you not to fast. They want you eating carbs. They want you eating Lucky Charms over steaks.
Chucky Larms.
Dude. I mean, they exist to try to kill us.
Literally. Gosh. We were talking yesterday. I was on the Shannon Joy show, and she brought up sun, and I'm like, because of Gigi, about a year ago, I started using coconut oil on my skin, in like really pure organic coconut oil instead of any like thing in a tube. And the color I had last season, I didn't burn at all. And I had a beautiful color, and I didn't have to, and my skin was nice too. And then I didn't have to wear like sunscreen or something with tons of chemicals and shit in it. Who wants to slather that crap all over their body? So yeah, coconut oil for your skin.
I heard the coconut oil is not good for eczema though.
I don't know. I don't have Laura. Eczema. I don't have eczema.
Laura, was it you that told me that coconut oil and eczema no good?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Oh, she doesn't. Okay.
Got it. Yeah, it's just something that we came by. Just something to look into. Yeah. It's very good for skin.
Coconut oil is a natural remedy that may help treat eczema by moisturizing the skin, reducing inflammation, and killing bacteria.
Well, yeah, antibacterial, no doubt. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm gonna have to look into that. Because we were talking about it before, and something like, there is a contradiction to every piece of information out there.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know.
Huh. Look into it, people, before you slather it all over your body.
Yep.
Reese is here. Reese, 5 times 5 equals $25 Fridays. God bless you, Reese.
Jeez, I've never seen this much money in a Rumble chat before.
I know.
Damn.
I've got something for you, Frank. It's just for you. And everyone in the audience will know why. This is a video of a woman who has been diagnosed as a psychopath.
Is this the one that just had that whole article written about her?
I don't know.
A sociopath. Did you read that one?
No.
Okay, well, let's watch this one first.
Here.
Sometimes when I think about these stories, these guilt stories, I don't know what people would feel guilt about. So I do have a little bit of mind blindness there, you know, like I've never lived the life of somebody who feels this empathy, this guilt way. And so I don't know what might trigger it. I've never have really felt anything for animals. You know, I've never had a pet or ever felt like a connection to animals. I've never like tortured animals. I know, you know, some psychopaths do for various reasons. You know, I never was one of those that tortured animals. But one time I was teaching swimming lessons. I went out, I saw there was this baby opossum. It was like this big, you know, struggling to try to get out of the pool. And I thought, oh, baby opossum must have fallen in the pool in the night or in the early morning. And now he's trying to get out. But I also thought, you know, opossum is a pest. I don't want this opossum around me. If I fish him out, then he, who knows what he's gonna do. You know, even like domesticated animals can kind of turn on you, especially when they feel like they're kind of in that fight or flight kind of moment. So I was like, I'll just drown the opossum. What I did is just got a hose and just kept like hosing him. So he's trying to like get up and I'm just like trying to drown him with the hose. And I do that for like 5 minutes. And he's actually a trooper, this baby opossum. And so I thought, this is not working. I will just cancel the swimming lesson and just go off and do something else, you know, go to the beach for that afternoon. I think maybe that...
She didn't kill the opossum, Frank.
They're not the most cuddly of creatures for me. I'm getting better.
I thought that you would be like...
No, this is sick. This is sick. No matter how much something may skeeve me out.
I wouldn't want it to die.
I especially wouldn't sit there and try to drown a damn thing that's struggling. That is sick.
I would want to sit and talk with this woman because she's so interesting to me. Like, she's not a psychopath that has ever done anything wrong. Ever. Right? Like, technically wrong. She still didn't even kill the opossum. She let it die on its own, I guess. But you got to listen to the rest of this. Here.
It seems cold-hearted to people, the way I went about it. But that's just kind of, and that's kind of an interesting thing too. We're socialized to think certain things are, different things are cold-hearted. And I guess I just am immune to socialization in general, most socialization. So one kind of example that stands out to me is I was living in Los Angeles and it was like a 12 unit apartment complex. It was kind of a nice apartment complex, and I was an attorney at the time, and I was like making, you know, like well into the six figures. And so it was very comfortable for me to pay the rent. But I noticed that my neighbors across from me, they were driving like 1980s, 1990s Civics. Both of them were driving these old Civics. And I kind of thought, I wonder how these people are paying rent. I thought of it sometimes. I also noticed though, that since they parked right next to me, that they had these two bikes that were collecting dust. So I had a friend visit me one weekend and I thought, let's go biking. And I thought, well, I have my bike, but I don't have a bike for you. I don't want to like have to drive somewhere and rent a bike. You know, it's very inconvenient. Let's just take my neighbor's bikes. Yeah, so I went down and I pumped up the air, and the seats had dust on them. I mean, they clearly hadn't been ridden for years, and they were just little cheap Schwinn guys, you know, probably $100 bikes or something. So we bike, and then we come back several hours later. We bike to the beach. You know, it was great. It was fun. And then in the evening, I get this knock on the door, and I go answer it. Luckily, it was me and not my roommate at the time. But I answer it, and it's my neighbor. And she said, you know, my bikes were missing.
She's easily paying the rent, but she needs a roommate. Don't understand that part, but...
missing earlier. You know, we were looking all over for them, and then we noticed that they were replaced. Do you know what happened with the bikes? And I said, yes, I took your bike and I borrowed it and I took it to the beach with my friend. And she was like color drained from her face.
Yeah, she should.
It's a little freaking weird.
This is our government.
Yes.
This is our government. This is mostly what occupies our government. If she were drowning in a pool, I might get the hose out and make sure she doesn't get out.
Do you want to hear the rest?
Does that make me a sociopath? Does that make me a defender of civil society? I don't know.
Well, let's see. I knew I was different. I just didn't know I was a sociopath. Different than a psychopath. Two different things.
Yeah.
Whenever I ask my mother if she remembers the time in second grade when I stabbed a kid in the head with a pencil, her answer is the same, vaguely. Okay. And I believe her. So much about my early childhood is vague. Some things I remember with absolute clarity, like the smell of the trees and our house on the hill near downtown San Francisco. Other things aren't so clear, like the first time I sneaked into my neighbor's house when they weren't home. I started stealing before I could talk. At least I think I did. By the time I was 6 or 7, I had an entire box full of things I'd stolen in my closet. Did you ever watch the show You?
No.
It's about this guy, Joe, who's a psycho serial killer. But the whole show, he's like fighting against his urge to do these things to these people. And the show is so masterfully done that like you find yourself, because you get to know this dude and his personality and everything, you find yourself like wanting him to win, not get caught by the police, not get in trouble. You know, it's like this. To be clear, she says, wait, oh, somewhere in the archives of People magazine, there's a photo of Ringo Starr holding me as a toddler. We're standing in his backyard not far from LA, where my father was an executive in the music business, and I'm literally stealing the glasses off his face. I was not the first child to play with the grown-up's glasses, but based on the spectacles currently perched on my bookshelf, I'm pretty sure I was the only one to swipe a pair from a beetle. To be clear, I wasn't a kleptomaniac. A kleptomaniac is a person with persistent and irresistible urge to take things that don't belong to them. I suffered from a different type of urge, a compulsion brought about by the discomfort of apathy, the nearly indescribable absence of a common social emotion like shame and empathy. I didn't understand any of this. All I knew was that I didn't feel things the way other kids did. I didn't feel guilt when I lied. I didn't feel compassion when classmates got hurt on the playground. For the most part, I felt nothing, and I didn't like the way that nothing felt. So I did things to replace the nothingness with something. Interesting.
Government. Again, this is why centers of authority attract socio and psychopaths. This is why it is a huge magnet. That, of course, it's, you know, all types, all levels of like law enforcement. It's a high rate of it. I know there's a lot of good people that do good work and they have noble reasons for doing it. But this is why it becomes a magnet. And this is why when government is so huge, this is everything. This is the reason why we watch hearings and you wonder why common sense is being fought so viciously, fought against. So there's no compassion. There's nothing. There's nothing. And then of course there's just malintent.
I nodded and pointed to the closet. We went through the box together. This is her and her mom. I explained what everything was and where it came from. Once the box was empty, she stood and said, "We're going to return every item to its rightful owner," which was fine with me. I didn't fear consequences and I didn't suffer remorse, two things I'd already figured out weren't normal. Returning the stuff actually served my purpose. The box was full and emptying it would give me a fresh space to store things that I want.
Yeah. I didn't know where I was going to put this article. I wanted to touch it at some point, so I guess it was just this morning. I said, what the hell? What? And then you look at her eyes, like look at her face, the portrait at the top of the thing. You know, it's like, yeah, yeah.
Something's wrong with that eye.
Oh yeah.
Something's wrong with that right eye.
Like that's a face that I would think would be underneath the Michael Myers mask.
Yeah, that's scary.
You know?
Did she have a stroke or something at some point?
No, she's just not a complete human being.
How does that happen so early in your life? Like what happened that she has no soul? Or she has a soul but can't find it?
It's very weird. Creepy what happens to people.
Yeah.
You know, you think about how frail the human body is and all the things that can go wrong with everything. Like there's no end to the things that can go wrong, to the things that could break. And that's only in the physical sense. Then you start thinking about this stuff.
Infernal machine says I can fix her.
So can I.
Someone else, Twisted Pair. Some of the comments in this chat are just... Twisted Pair says that picture was taken with a remote control vibrator.
Mm.
This Friday show, it's just no holds barred. Oh, terrible. She got multiple boosters. Probably.
I wonder if someone in her situation, if she gets a booster, it actually makes something. You know, usually it deadens that. But what happens to them, though?
Maybe it'll give them some kind of...
I know.
Soul inside. Who knows? I got sent a weird pitch yesterday and I started, I got sent a random email by someone pitching a book for some BBC famous author. And usually they're like climate change or something like that. But this one was about a book that I actually started reading and it's really interesting.
What's it about?
It's about, I want to read you the title. Looking for the email real quick. Hold on. Ashley, here she is. It's Coma and the Near-Death Experience. It explores the positive and negative extraordinary states of expanded consciousness that arise during coma and NDE. So like... Scientists say that coma makes you basically, like when they put you in an induced coma or you're in a coma, there's no brain activity, nothing happens. But there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people, they have a term for it, a medical term for it, what happens to you, like when you awake from coma and you're like nuts because of all the crap you've just gone through. They say that's just the, you know, the drugs or whatever. But people are having like conscious experience while they're in comas. So where is that coming from if there's no brain activity?
Do they reference anybody like Dr. Eben Alexander in this? Okay.
Yes.
Because I've interviewed him back in September, and he was talking about this.
He's a chapter in the book so far. I mean, I want to interview this man because, truthfully, 90% of the coma consciousness experiences are negative. People being murdered over and over, people, you know, experiencing terrible situations they can't get out of. None of the coma, like only one or two of the ones that have been showcased so far have been positive or uplifting in nature. Whereas near-death experiences are 92% positive.
Yeah, he obviously he had this brain infection. It forced him into a coma. He was pretty much brain dead for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was talking about is when he came back, and you know, he was so many things, like he was led around by a sister he didn't know he had, a lot of different things that can confirm that there was some sort of an intelligent link between one world and the other. It wasn't just all imagination. But the other hand is there is the situation that there was no brain activity. So for him to have all these experiences over the course of those days with no brain activity, he started talking about the experiments he was doing and the studies he did after he woke up, and he was able to start talking to his colleagues about what the hell was going on. And one interesting thing that I learned in that interview is that the closer your brain gets to death is where these experiences, but you would think that, like, for example, when you take mushrooms or acid or something like that, that your brain under sensors or whatever, your brain is getting monitored for activity. And if you were to take some kind of a hallucinogen, your brain would light up like a Christmas tree. The opposite happens. It actually brings brain activity down.
Except in one location, correct?
I don't remember that. He said, I think it was across the board or something. But what I took away from it, I had to ask him, I said, just, you know, listen, in layman's terms here, you're saying that the real hallucinations that people are getting is not from activating more of the brain. It's from getting you closer to the other side. Is that what you're saying? And that's the conclusion he was drawing as a scientist. We haven't spoken since last September, but I might be able to link you guys up.
There's a lot of controversy surrounding him and his NDE. A lot. I don't know if you've ever looked into any of it.
I don't know what most of the criticisms that I got from people is that his conclusions, personal conclusions based on his analysis, based on his experiences, not the science, was that it was very new agey.
I'm so tired of that term. It's so annoying to me. New age. What is it? Anything you don't understand is new age now?
No. It's something that obviously is not. Not clearly Christian. That's one thing that it wasn't an exclusively Christian experience. So that gets a lot of people. You want to talk about religious affiliations getting, you know, challenged a little bit. That triggers a lot of, you know, a lot of hesitancy.
I can't deal with that. That bothers me. Like, there's a whole world out there. Not everybody practices the same religion.
I know. And hey, listen, as an interviewer, I was just absorbing it all. I did not judge, and I was just taking it all in. And the follow-up questions were just flowing. But as far as controversy goes, I didn't really.
I have articles. I'll send them to you. People have kind of poked his story apart. Like, he wasn't actually in the hospital as long as he said. The medical records don't match up to what he's saying. Like, that people insinuate that he made the whole thing up. Like, because NDE experiencers started noticing this kind of stuff about his story. And so they went digging to figure out like what he was doing. And so there's a lot of controversy surrounding him. So I wouldn't want to interview him until I knew for myself where I landed on that, whether or not he was legit or not.
Oh, okay.
But yes, he's in the book. And he's one of the most famous people to have experienced an NDE because he was an atheist. And then he had his NDE. And like... The whole New Age thing just baffles my mind for some reason. Like, it's satanic. Nobody like what is it? Define it for me. I don't. It's anything. Like, I've seen anything that people don't understand. They call it New Age, and then they just rush it off. Like, they brush it off. Like,
well, it's like a. It's one of those things where you're taking. It really only started popping up in the 20th century. And especially around the time of those counterculture movements, very, very big in California. And it combines a lot of things like, you know, astrology and tarot and, star child stuff. And it could be a little, it's a little spacey and of course it's not organized religion or anything like that. So it's very subjective, woo woo. It goes in so many different directions, and of course, because it puts the human terrestrial experience at the center of the whole thing, that's why people say it is inherently satanic. Not that we're talking about Satan or Lucifer as a biblical figure, but satanic in the way that it is humanist and exalts that over.
In all the research I've done and everything that I've looked into that I thought that people would consider woo-woo, that's never the focus of it. It's always your connection to God. It's never anything else. Like, I see some comments on some things that I'm like, really, like, connect. I'm like, wow, this jives with me. I get this. This makes sense to me. And then everyone underneath, all the very, very hardcore religious people that, like, will probably be the most judgmental out of everybody I found in my experience, are all saying, you're going to hell. And I'm like, this is literally talking about becoming closer to God. How is he
going to hell? It's competing definitions and Genesis stories. It's competing definitions of God, competing worldviews and so. Listen, this is the world. This is the world we're in.
I've been researching and studying and learning everything I could get my hands on, all different kinds of philosophies and thought. Like, how do you know if you don't ever learn about anything else and you're just like, I am this. This is what. So I went exploring, and all of them have one thing in common. There's a God. God. One thing in common, no matter how they view it or what kind of traditions they think you should follow or how, you know, they think you should live in fear, you should live in love or however they think you should live. All of them have that one thing in common other than atheism, which I can't jive with at all because that's just completely inexplicable. I don't feel that in my body. I don't feel that there's nothing else. Clearly, hey, there's,
you know, this is why they say at dinner. The least polite things to talk about is politics and religion. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to broadcast and my, you know, personal, you know, I'm everybody's on their own personal journeys there and how they're approaching this stuff and how they develop their spiritual life. But at the same time, I don't really dissertate. I'll bring on guests who operate in religion and in faith and all that and scripture, and I love asking questions and I love learning, and I know where my family traditional religious ties are, and I'm you know reverting to that right now and exploring more, but other than that, you come across, when you're out there in the world, you come across people who are very, very good. They're kind, they're generous, they don't have a malicious bone in their body, but they have found revelation in things that you never considered and you never found yourself considering, and even when you looked into it, it didn't do anything for you, but it invigorated them, and it did not turn them into a you know, a shyster,
a murderous, you know, psychopath. You know?
And I take that and I'm just like, okay, well, we're not on the same page, but is this person worthy of condemnation, especially eternal condemnation? That is beyond my pay grade. It's not my job. And it also like humbles me in my approach to how I operate in this, you know, category of discussion when I'm out there publicly, because, you know, there's a lot of people who identify as Christian who I think are scumbags. You know, and so what does it all mean? You know, so
it's sad, but those are the people that will throw judgment at you, like nasty judgment and condemnation at you. And I'm like, I literally talk to God like all day. I'm in prayer. Every other thought in my head is prayer. Like, you don't get to judge my relationship with my creator. You don't. Sorry.
Is it the Christian Abrahamic God, or is it Gaia?
Who cares? It's God.
As far as revelation goes, as far as what is revealed to us and the word goes,
by who?
It means a lot to people. And it
but
also
by who?
What do you mean by who?
Revealed to us by who?
But in a Christian sense, the scriptures, the Bible, that is a divine revelation. You know, as far as origins and where this is
the
all
original,
going.
The original one.
Bible? The original,
or the one that was changed 60 million times by between when it was written and now. Which Bible?
Well, I don't know. Where's the original one?
Great question.
There's different translations. We're talking about thousands of years now of tradition, and of course there's dozens of books or hundreds of books that were left out or for one reason or another. So yeah, there's a lot of overwhelming amount of history there. But again, it's just one of those things where that's why I humble myself when I get anywhere near this topic in public, because I know what is...
Somebody's going to inevitably be angry, no matter what you say.
Yeah. And some people will just be like, que sera, and they'll walk away from it, and they'll go on trying to live a moral and decent life. You know, I really take exception to people who go to war with it. I see some religions I like least out of all of them. I see just the way that inspires action around the world.
Oh, and yeah, I mean, that's clear.
Yeah, so there's a lot there. But, you know, I'm not qualified for a lot of these conversations.
I'm not qualified to have them either. I just know what I know. I know what I feel and what I do and what I believe. And everybody has their own, and I don't judge anybody for theirs.
Well, it's whenever I feel like I have a bearing on something, and someone comes along, like I said, that kind of reminds you that there is a world full of billions of different people. Many of them are very, very good and kind and just see things differently and believe things differently. And that might be tied to family, culture, things that are isolated from us. And it has worked for them, and they don't seem worthy of condemnation. But then again, I'm just one human man, and again, that judgment and truth is really, I believe, above my pay grade. So I just try to take care of what I can and be kind to people.
It's not our job. I want to show you real quickly what Walgreens has as their opening message, Frank. Now, when you call, hold on a second. One second.
An additional dose of the COVID vaccine for patients 65 years and older, 4 months after your last dose. For more information, please visit walgreens.com.
Did you hear it?
Something after your last dose? What happened?
CDC now recommends an additional COVID vaccination for those 65 and older, 4 months after your last dose.
So every 4 months you're going in for a tune-up now? For what, though?
Money? I don't know. They want to kill you? I don't know.
That's weird. Oh, man. Oh, I can't imagine getting that call every couple of months and actually saying, oh,
let's honey, go, honey. Walgreens has got our
TVA. Yeah, we have to get tuned up. My God.
It's time. I wanted to play this clip real quick. We've got like 10 minutes left. Dinesh D'Souza played this or shared this and said, hey, Mark Cuban, if you're looking to diversify your corporate workforce, diversity is our greatest strength and all that, you might consider calling this person. You can spend the first few weeks learning how to address him. Here we go. And then I'm going to read you what Mark Cuban responded. Something else. But here he is.
Hey, everyone. I don't know if I'm going to post this or not, but I just need a fucking rant. Universal Labor Support just fucking called me. And the first thing they fucking did is fucking dead name me. Love that. We're off to a really fucking good start. They ask if I'm available for a fucking shift. In 9 fucking weeks, they have not fucking scheduled
God,
me.
Oh, God, with the cursing.
Yeah, I know. Even, it's bad.
First of all, too much for me.
It's too much for me, too, and that's saying something.
And mostly then, of course, when I hear dead name, it's like, okay, well, this person is brain dead.
Psycho. Yeah, it's got a little.
I can't. What was the crux of, like, what happened here?
Just
because she got dead named when she was...
She's homeless. She's living in her car. She can't get a job. They are dead naming her when they call her for work. I guess this is like a temp agency or something that like will call you and give you shifts here and there. And they're not handling it right. And she can't get out of this hole she's in. And she's homeless, living in her car. And she goes through the whole thing as the clip goes on.
So did they actually have a prospect for her?
Yeah.
And so she's homeless.
They called her that morning to work and she couldn't do it.
She couldn't do it because why? Because she was too emotionally distraught of being called her given name at birth?
I have no idea, but clearly playing the rest of the clip is out of the question. So. But Mark Cuban responds to this. He says, hold on, where'd it go? Oh. He says, so this person wants to vent because despite thinking was going to get hours at a job, he hasn't. You ever been in that position? I have. Then he vents because he's living out of a car and is upset because minimum wage isn't enough to pay the bills. Think you might vent because you aren't making enough to pay the bills? I have. You know what I didn't hear this person do? Ask for public assistance. But I think that's what this was that they were using. Ask for money to do nothing. They're obviously trying to be self-sufficient and it's not working. And it's not nothing. And you, rather than respecting the effort and the grind, you want to judge them based on how they see themselves. Who gives an F about how people want to identify? That's up to them. I see a person who's trying to do the right thing and work and stand on their own. I respect him a whole lot more for what he's trying to do than what I've seen you do. Mark Cuban needs help.
Yeah, all I see are random headlines of this guy taking ridiculous stances on horrible issues.
I don't know how he has any money left.
Or what I should say, horrible stances on ridiculous issues.
Do you know what he didn't do? Find this person and offer them a job.
Oh, yeah. No, but yeah, because it's about looking good and avoiding looking bad. It's all about brand management. All the things that these yappy celebrities can do. You know, whenever there's somebody in distress, they should show up and throw an arm around them. Give them a nice stack of cash.
Look at how angry. Oh, Lord. Screaming with the veins popping out of her neck.
He can give her $50,000 right now. He can give her a nice stack of cash that will float her through the next year. She'll be able to find the perfect job.
That'll be the first thing.
Yeah. The next year will come and go. All that money, that's it. Oh, we are such a man. We are the bum culture.
I don't even want to go through anything else. You know what I want to do?
What? That's it. Whistle our way to infinity.
This. I just have to hide the feet, though. I can't watch that toe.
Can't watch that rogue toe.
Well, Look, it's coming right now. Hold on. He's in the chair. He's just chilling. The toe is on its way. There it is.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy.
I'm on a delay. Oh, there it is.
In every life, we have some trouble. But when you worry,
it's not that bad.
It is. Don't Come worry. On.
It's not like it's like pointing up 90 degrees.
It is. Just wait. The second toe clip is worse. And I just noticed this today.
Don't worry.
I'm putting a full screen for everybody so they can
I've
see.
I've never smoked a pipe in my life. I wanna do that one day.
Really? You of all people?
Why not? Like a cigar. You don't inhale a pipe.
You don't inhale a cigar either.
Right.
Be happy.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, here comes the toe again. It's gotta be right now. Worry, be happy. Yep, there it is. 90 degrees. Right up in the air. Come on.
Hold on. It's on delay.
Took your bed. Don't worry. Be happy.
90 degrees.
Right? It's I think it's somewhere around 50 degrees. By the way, Aurora knows how to snap her fingers already.
Does she?
Can
she do
really
both hands?
Not both hands, but she really wanted to learn how to snap her fingers, and she's been practicing so much. I wasn't snapping my fingers at 3. She had, it's little tiny snaps, but it's audible. She's doing it. I can't snap with both fingers, but I can snap 2-on-1. So I pretend that I'm snapping with my left hand.
You know, I play this game on my tablet when I want to like veg out. It's called BeatStar, and it's all like music, and you got to like tap the thing at the time of the beat. And every time I play it, I think about you. Every time.
Really?
Yeah, because you're a drummer, and it's just I listen to the drums to catch my rhythm. So,
cause when you're worried, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry.
That's it for today, Frank. You've been listening.
Let's go back to 1988 for a couple of weeks.
You've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. It was $5 Fridays today. Thank you to everybody who gave $5 or $20 or $10 because they missed a week. God bless you. And we will be back here on Monday, hopefully with some lighthearted stuff to talk about. Oh!
Here.
Can she show us how she snaps before we go?
Oh, hold on a second. There's a little, I feel a little rat behind me. Look at this little rat.
There hold she on. Is.
Aurora, hold on. You want to show, hold on here. Get real close. Put your hand to the microphone and let's see if we can get the snap.
Yes. Yay.
Come down with that middle finger harder. Yeah, a little bit better. That's better. Do it right here. You almost had it.
Yay!
You're doing it good.
All right. Fantastic.
Say, Tracy, I hope you have a good weekend.
Tracy, I hope you have a good weekend.
I hope you have a good weekend, Aurora.
I will.
Oh, good.
You see all of her unicorn shirt?
Will tried to tell me yesterday unicorns weren't real, and I was very frustrated about that.
Hey, see, unicorns are real.
I like unicorns.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
You know, I saw a unicorn in Super Y.
Saw a unicorn in Super Y?
Super Y, Super Y.
Yeah, Tracy knows the song.
Who's got the power, the power to read?
Read. Hey, tell Tracy how you pet the baby chicks the other day.
On legs.
Aww.
You pet them on the legs?
Uh-huh.
What?
And
it was? So what was your favorite part, petting them on the head or the legs? Why is that?
Because it was so fluffy.
It was fluffy? Oh, boy. And what'd you have for breakfast?
Cereal.
Yeah, and some banana?
No.
No? Okay.
Just
cereal. Okay. I'm gonna go swallow some eggs now. How many eggs? How many eggs, Daddy, gonna drink today?
Five.
No, seven.
Eight, five.
Seven, eight, and five. All right.
See you later.
Have a good night, everybody. Take care.